morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Here with the three wise guys. And we've had technical problems. Appreciate your patience, your prayers. We have they've been answered because I think we should be live. So again, welcome. Thank you, and Yahweh is faithful in me and all. You know, we make our plans, and He directs our steps, and it's a beautiful morning here, rainy morning here in Salem, Oregon. Morning, Gus.
Hey, good morning. You know, it's kind of exciting because it's fun to watch a technical master work.
Well, yeah. We have our producer, I call him Dr. Phil, though.
Dr. He's a
master,
Phil.
Master of technology, so we appreciate him. And Father is faithful. Again, we make our plans. He directs our steps. And we were supposed to have Dr. Stephen Pigeon on this morning, and we had this technical difficulty, so we'll reschedule him, and we'll look forward to hearing from him. But, guy, This is a special week, isn't it, Gus?
It is special. You said we're looking forward to Stephen, and I'm looking forward to Passover this week.
Well, yes, it's a Holy Week. As we remove, Father, as we attempt to remove all the leaven that signifies sin in our lives, and man, Father, and you know, He's the only one. He is. I'm gonna make a new word.
What?
A de-leavener, if you will.
De-leavener. I like that.
He's the one that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. His blood. You know, Gus, what? The longer I walk this journey, and I walk and I try, attempt day by day, step by step, I realize that on my best day, it's all Him. He is our transformer. He is the only one through His blood that He shed, His perfect blood, when He went to the tree and laid His life down. And boy, Gus, I don't know about you, but that brings comfort to my soul.
You said the word transformers. And have you heard the or did you ever see the Transformer cartoon?
I kind of watched it a little on the outskirts, but it was my grandkids would look at that. Yeah.
Well, you know, the song says more than meets the eye.
More
and I think that really fits, right? More than meets the eye.
Yeah.
And that's, we're being transformed by our, more than meets the eye.
Yes. Our minds are being transformed. Our minds are being renewed every day. And I love that because, you know, He's not finished with us yet, is He, Gus?
Oh, man. When would He be finished with us?
When we're done with these bodies, earthly, I call them earth suits.
Uh-huh.
When we don't need them any longer and we get our new body, I don't know what that looks like.
But is He done with us then?
Well, no, we're going to still go to the kingdom.
Now we got eternity.
Now we have, yeah. Now, well, yeah, we're already in eternity. And I really believe this is a testing. This is a testing ground,
mm-hmm.
this life we lead here. And we all have different, areas we're living in. He's got us placed and there's still people kind of picking up. Father's moving them around and moving them. And, but guess what? We are living in exciting days because, it is getting darker around us, but that's not a bad thing. You know why?
Why?
Because this stuff must come on the earth and it's going to get, His word says it's going to get darker before His, He comes back, our Messiah, our Mashiach in the Hebrew. And, man, look upward. He said to encourage each other, Gus, with those words. Look upward, for your redemption draws nigh. And that alone brings me a peace that I can't really put into words.
That is a wonderful thing. And, you know, you started off by saying this is the Three Wise Guys show. Rollin is not with us today.
No, he's
out
doing family things.
Doing family things.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, we miss him, but he'll be back.
Yep, we always do when we aren't together, because this is such a blessed time. Not only do we have this weekly conversation that we, you know, every Tuesday on Hebrew Nation Radio, but it's, as we talked about earlier, a kind of a smorgasbord of things. Now, being Swedish, in the background, you know, my heritage, smorgasbord, you know, what is that?
Smorgasbord, yeah, yeah. Just a medley of different spiritual food, I guess, if you will. I mean, there's just so much to glean. And doesn't his word get more exciting, Gus, every time we...
Every day.
Every day. It's sweeter as the days go by. We used to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those of you that know the old hymns, sweeter as the days go by.
Amen.
Yeah, so...
So we've got 4 or 5 minutes. So why don't we do this? If you're okay with it, why don't we condense our usual routine of prayer and reading scripture into the next 4 or 5 minutes. Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Let's pray.
All right.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that we make our plans. But the good news is you direct our steps. Help us today, Father. Help us to walk as Yeshua walked. Father, we don't want to do anything more or less. We just want to be like our Savior, our King. Father, we know you're coming soon, but we know so many people aren't quite ready. Father, we're trying. Help us, Father, to have oil in our lamps, full with oil to spare, Father, so we can hear those words, well done, good and faithful servants. Father, what is it if we gain the whole world but not hear those words? It would be of all chasing of the wind. And Father, we again thank you for what you're doing as you're gathering, you're in the process of gathering your people from the furthest corner of the earth and opening their eyes to the truth that's always been there. But Father, we've had blinders on, but the good news is you tell us that we shall know the truth and the truth will make us free. And Father, we are, as your people, free indeed. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. Through our time together this morning, Yeshua's holy, precious name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. We had a couple of scriptures we were looking at earlier, didn't we?
Yes.
You're doing such a great job. You want to kick right off and tell
ahead.
Us where we're headed?
Yeah, we're going to be in Matthew 12, and I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 38. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to accept the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Why did you pick that?
One sign, Gus. He said there's only going to be one sign. 3 days in 3 nights.
So that's that like, he would be like in afternoon, grave. Morning, afternoon, morning. And that would be 3 days?
No. Friday to Sunday is not quite 3 days.
Well, wait, we got Good Friday and then we got the Lord's Day on Sunday. Isn't that?
That's part of, there's the part of Friday, part of Saturday, part of Shabbat, and then part of Sunday.
It ends up being like four of those, 2 days.
Yeah.
But he said it was 3 days, like 72 hours.
Like 3 days and three nights. So, you know, the way we were all taught, it just doesn't pencil out, as Yeshua was saying, as far as how we interpret when he died and when he rose.
It almost makes me think that many of us failed math. You know, 72
well, they,
hours,
they
right?
change it to that modern math, you know, and yeah, but, you know, that's what we're just trying to journey, and we're just trying to connect dots that a lot of times the way his scripture teaches, it just doesn't pencil out, and, you know, to me.
What do you mean? It just doesn't pencil out.
Well, it doesn't pencil out with, you know, he said 3 days and three nights as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be in 3 days and three nights in the grave. And so, you know, it makes more sense that, you know, they would never keep him. They would take him, you know, off the tree by sunset.
Uh-huh.
So it makes more sense that maybe he, just a thought now, you, everybody study it out yourself and you see if you come to a different conclusion, but it makes more sense to me that he would die Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday to Thursday, one day,
mm-hmm.
Thursday to Friday, 2 days, Friday to end of Shabbat, 3 days, 3 days and three nights. So he was buried on Wednesday afternoon, and he rose on sunset right before the new day. And they didn't see him, of course, till the first day, right? Sunday morning. The ladies ran to the tomb, mm-hmm. found that it was rolled away, and he wasn't there. Gus, you think that stone held him there? He was out before the angel ever rolled that stone away, or however it happened.
You know, I'd like to explore this a little bit more, if you're all right with this, after the break, because there are some nuances there that are very interesting.
Don't go away.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, and welcome back to the Three Wise Guys. We have had a truncated experience this morning.
Truncated. I love that word.
You like that? Yeah, we've been truncated this morning. Hey, this is Gus.
And this is Rick.
Hey, and the two of us are filling in, trying to fill the big boots of Roland, who's out there taking care of family stuff today. And so our prayers are with him.
Oh, Father, be with Roland.
Yes. And we're looking forward to him being back here with us as well.
Yes, yeah.
Following Tuesday. Now, we've got some things going on. We started talking about it before the break. We've got Passover, or in Hebrew, Pesach. Coming up. Rick, we kind of need to talk about this.
Yeah, depending on what calendar you're on. We're going to be observing it Friday evening. Now, probably Saturday, Sunday, people are going to be doing it different nights,
mm-hmm.
however you see the calendar. You know, that's one thing. You know what I love, Gus?
What's that?
That when our Messiah comes back, he's mm-hmm. going to let us know exactly how to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
When to start the Sabbath, which to me, it's pretty clear, but to some people, they see it differently, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And what calendar we are to be on, because you realize, Gus, there are some people that split fellowships because just don't keep the calendar properly. But it does, the calendar, how you see it, does really affect all his set apart days. So it is important.
There are so many things there you just brought up, splitting fellowship.
Yeah.
As compared to being in unity, maybe.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So let's say, now when we're talking about the different calendars, let's talk about what that is.
Some people, they see the new month as the conjunction, the dark moon where there's no moon.
Uh-huh.
Some people see it as when they sight the moon in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And that's called the, what is that called? The sliver, if you will, mm-hmm. or the
sighted moon.
Yes, the sighted moon. And then they start the first day.
Uh-huh.
And then, there's just different calendar. People interpret the scriptures different. And I just love it that our Messiah is going to come and he's going to straighten all those differences out.
So there's different calendars, and that helps us to, first of all, understand that we got to be striving or studying to show ourselves approved, to
try to
get closer. It isn't an excuse to say, well, because we can't figure it out, I'm just not going to go there.
I'm just not going to do it because nobody knows anyway, and we're not in the land. And I believe, Gus, the way I see in the scriptures, that these are all rehearsals, if you will, rehearsals preparing when one, remember, it seems to me that the spring feasts were his, when he came the first time to earth. Uh-huh. Now our Jewish brothers, they think he's coming the first time. They don't think he's come the first time yet. Some of them. Some of them, their eyes are being opened.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the fall feasts will signify his second coming. When all is fulfilled, when the last trump, it makes sense to me that that last trump, when, you know, the first fall feast is Feast of Trumpets.
Uh-huh.
And, then we have Yom Kippur, which when our hearts are, you know, 10 days later is Yom Kippur, and then 5 days after that starts, correct me if I'm wrong, starts Sukkot, Marriage Supper of the Lamb, when we will tabernacle with our king when he returns. It just makes sense, doesn't it? Just I can connect some of those dots. Is it all right? I don't know. But again, our Messiah will straighten all those differences we have out. And I think it's so critical, Gus, not to allow these little interpretations not to allow us to divide over those things.
Okay, so you brought up divide again. Let me come back there.
Yes.
When you were a kid, did you ever do dot to dot?
Oh,
it's like you go to number one to number two. Did you ever make a mistake when you were little?
I always made a mistake.
Well, did you keep going or did you go back?
No, I just erased it and then came back. That's why I always did it with a pencil, Gus, so I could have an eraser. Make it right.
Well, they have a erasable pen, too. I didn't know if you knew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now they've got electronic dot to dot, so yeah, you just... But the point, I think it's a good analogy for our lives. You know, if we're going along, and let's just for the sake of argument, I'll use myself, you know, for 30, 40 years, I'm going along in the Sunday church.
Yeah.
And then Father opens my eyes to some interesting information I'd never heard of, or if I'd heard of it, my ears weren't open.
Okay.
And I understand that, Easter isn't really in Scripture, it's Passover. And I never did understand what Easter eggs and bunnies and stuff, you know, what they had to do with the Messiah's resurrection. I didn't get that. So that was an easy one for me to understand that, that doesn't fit. Passover fits.
Yes.
And then to go back to the Passover story and go, what was the first Passover? And you said something really interesting about that earlier. Do you remember what that was when we were in our technological break?
No, you got to refresh my memory. I said a lot of things.
You said a lot of things, yeah. You said that when the children of Israel, which they weren't yet, because they weren't truly a nation yet.
Well, but before they left Egypt, they were a nation in formation. They hadn't, when they left
They Egypt, didn't know who they were yet.
They didn't know. They didn't have an identity yet, did they?
Nope, they didn't. And you said when they were leaving, they didn't know where they were going.
They did not know where they were going.
You know, think about that for a second. Okay, so when we are born into the world,
mm-hmm.
we are born from the womb.
Right.
In kind of a, all of a sudden we get all this bright light and noise and
sudden,
we come through a passage
of
blood.
Our world changes.
And oh my goodness, it's just no wonder we're screaming when we're born.
I'm breathing air now. And
yeah.
I have to, yeah.
So isn't it interesting if you look at that same analogy that Father told those people that were in Egypt, and I'm not just going to say Israelites because some Egyptians came out too.
They saw the blessing that Yahweh had on that group of people and they said, hey, I'm going with these folks,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And so they put the blood on the door,
yep.
The framework,
uh-huh.
and those children who were captive, just like a child being in the womb,
mm-hmm.
were born through a bloody passage,
mm-hmm.
not to get too descriptive.
No.
And they didn't know where they were going, just like a baby doesn't know where they're going.
No, that's a good, good point.
So here we are not knowing where we're going, and we follow the best we can as we're young, our parents and our mm-hmm. grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get to be young teenagers. We start to question.
Oh,
yeah. Did you question at all?
Oh, man. Gus, I had a lot of answers. So I thought.
Wait, no, I said
as
questions.
I look back,
you said you had the answers.
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't just question. I felt like I had the answer. All you had to do is ask me.
Yeah.
And I was legend in my own mind. Less like a lot of us are today.
Uh-huh.
But, it's.
So, all right. So you had a lot of answers. And
I thought I did.
I thought I did. Well, you had answers, but they
were
maybe
teenagers,
not the right ones.
They know it all. Just ask them.
Yeah. Just leave home while you still know everything, right?
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah,
that was me
really.
Too. But we question everything, and that's what part of those answers are. Oh, yeah, you don't have it right. You're the parent, and I know better, and, right?
Yeah, you'll see someday,
that whole questioning
thing.
You'll
see. And I says, yeah.
So now fast forward to when you, quote, were saved, when you found Messiah.
Yeah.
He found you.
Yeah, he found me.
And what did that feel like?
Well, I'm just going to share it in a nutshell if I can. It's
yeah.
not easy. But I some of you have heard my testimony, but Gus, I was searching. I was 18 years, just turned 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I, back at, some of you will remember, and we're going to date those of us that do remember, there was a movie that came out in the 70s called Thief in the Night.
Oh.
Thief in the Night. It was about the second coming. Now, we see that second coming quite a bit differently than we did at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we were thought that you didn't want to be left behind, see? So the Lord was going to come, and he was going to pull his people out
mm-hmm.
of this world. And you know, we'd be taken out, his people. And I was curious about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I knew I wasn't ready.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't want to be left behind.
So let me interrupt you if I could. So at that point, you knew there was something there.
Oh, I knew that. No, like I knew totally... there was a God that sent his son. I was
yeah.
taught that. I was, you know, I was raised in, you know, in the Nazarene church. I,
uh-huh.
I had heard the word. And so make a long story short, we were just got into the church, sitting in the pews.
Okay.
Waiting for the service to start. Gus, the Holy Spirit came upon me. See, I was one of those kind of people that I had to see his nail prints in his hands and his feet. I had to see the hole in his side.
You were kind of a
Thomas. Father, I was a doubter. Yeah. And, unless you show me,
uh-huh.
I won't. Point being, he truly showed me that night, September 23rd, 1973.
Uh-huh.
And my life changed that night. Now, have I walked too far off? Yes, I have. And I'm still fighting to stay on path, but, come a little way. But point being, he saved my soul that night.
What a great story. How did you feel?
I felt like there was this, when I did, I was weeping, and by the time the service started, I was saved.
Mm.
Man, that load of guilt had come off me,
mm-hmm.
and I was afraid, and I was rejoicing. I knew now where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And after that service, I can't remember what the service was. Well, they did it. I remember one song they sang, God Redeem a Sinful Men, and they sang that song. And, but when I saw that movie, I was rejoicing because I knew where I was going.
So taking this back to the dot to dot analogy, we've got a picture. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yes.
And there's, I don't know, maybe 70, 80, 90 stops along that way where
yes.
we take the pen or pencil and we connect those dots.
Yes.
And oh, if it would be so easy to be able to erase the wrong dots, the wrong turns, where we
yeah,
went from
yeah.
from 1 to 4 to 5.
And we all
one,
made
two,
those
three.
Mistakes, didn't we,
yep.
along the way?
Yep, we all do. And so we can't erase them, and yet we get to that point where there's one special dot that stands out amongst
mm-hmm.
the rest,
mm-hmm.
and then everything's okay. You're done. I mean, you're in the club, and No, you're shaking your head no. Why?
No, the journey starts, Gus.
So that's the start of it.
That's when, if you will, they call regeneration. The lights come on.
Uh-huh.
I was lost, but now I'm found. I know now why I'm here. I have a mission. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. I'm just starting my mission. And now it's a day by day walk with him. And I had a darkness upon me the first 3 days. I had the enemy was just bombarding me. It was very difficult. But the third day, that lifted, and I really can't put it into words what it was like, but it was definitely real. And I think the enemy was trying to discourage me to go back, and this was a lot of years ago, man. You know, this is
relative
decades.
To our human lives.
Yeah.
Right.
And yet it just seems like a vapor. But I was redeemed that night, and that was the turning point that I knew that I was lost, but now I'm found.
So that's interesting, because in our analogy of the dot to dot,
yes,
were we really even starting down the path of 1, 2, 3, 4 yet? Maybe we hadn't even gotten your.
Maybe I was just leaving the one.
Maybe we didn't even know there was a dot to dot yet.
Yeah, that's right.
No, the dot to dot of life.
Such a babe in our Messiah. So, yeah, just, just on pabulum, you know, just trying to, man, I was reading the word, man, just reading and reading and reading it. All my spare time, I was reading it. And, that was the beginning where the Father from then on, he had his hand on me all the way along.
Yeah.
But that's when my life really took a turn, and I had a purpose, and it's been a blessed life. I just can't tell you. Not that it hasn't. I haven't had rocky times. I have, and everybody has. But I just look at the turn of events, and the Father gave me a beautiful wife a couple of years later, and so fresh and so new and good, and blessed life, Gus. We're all testimonies of that. We all have a, you know what's so neat? We all have a unique story.
Yes, we do.
To tell. But, you know, whenever I'd get discouraged, I'd go back to that night, September 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because he does. We all doubt at times, don't we? We do.
Sure.
He makes us discouraged, the evil one.
Yeah.
But then you go back.
Well, so go back. Let me segue off of that.
Okay.
So who was it? Nicodemus, I think maybe
Nicodemus came to Yeshua.
Was he the one that, or was it somebody else that said, hey, well, so what? Born again, what are you talking about?
Can a man go back
into his mother's womb and be born again? Really?
I know.
And it sounds to me like that's a born again experience
you're talking about. But to say this, I think a lot of people don't have the kind of experience I had. They did it on faith. They don't have a time really when they had some kind of supernatural. My experience, I got to say, it was supernatural, man. Uh-huh. I mean, I really can't put it into words, but it was so real. And nobody could ever tell me nobody could ever take that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where it all started. And I look all the way 40 some odd years along this journey I've walked. And people say, man, you'd think you would be a lot more refined than you are. You know, you've walked this long. And no, you know, I am who I am, and I can't be something I'm not. I just got to be. We're children of the King, and all we have to do is try day by day, step by step, to walk as He walked.
So let's go back to the analogy. So we don't even know that there's a point to point, dot to dot that we
no,
be
we
on.
Don't even know
we,
that.
We finally figure that out. He makes it available to us, and we go, oh, I'm born again. So just like Passover, the children coming out of
Egypt
and heading into the wilderness, now we go. What's this look like?
A nation's being born. Yeah. They're trying to find their way.
Mm-hmm. So we're trying to find our way at that point. And so in your personal journey, can you just kind of give us an idea of what happened next? I mean, I hear some people say, listen, I was born again, and then that was it. Well, what's it? What's that next
thing?
Well,
I, I started, you know, what happened was the father, I'm going to go back a little bit.
Okay.
The father, before I made this decision, my mom says, why don't you, you know, I said, well, mom, I don't know what I should be doing, you know, and she says, well, why don't we get you signed into school? Uh-huh. And I really wasn't very studious, Gus, like you are, and Roland. And
you're making an assumption.
No,
there.
but point being is all the doors closed except for the community college was all I couldn't get in. Azusa Pacific University. I saw all these kids, Gus.
Yeah,
that they had a joy that I didn't have. I'm going back now. Before the months before.
Yeah.
I about a month maybe, because I think we started the end of August. Mm-hmm. And my transformation happened the 23rd of the next month. But I saw this joy that these kids had. I was going out partying every day, and mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue. If something didn't happen, I was going to flunk out of school.
Mm.
And but he redeemed me a month later. And gave me a reason to live. And then the next spring, the fire service opened. My cousin called me and said, hey, why don't we go take this position for the fire department?
So
wasn't my plan.
Wasn't your plan.
No.
So you have a life-changing, born-again experience.
I had it, yep.
You end up with some direction in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look over the next 30 or so years, what did your faith walk look like over that next approximately 20 to 40, somewhere in there, years?
Yeah, well, you know, was plugged into the our churches, you mm-hmm. know, was going, and pretty much, you know, I was councils in different churches and stuff. And then in 2009, Gus, we're fast forwarding now,
just 2009,
a few decades. And a lot of you have heard this testimony, painting our home, and came across 1220 a.m. Mm-hmm. Salem Hebrew Nation Radio. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it was called that at that time.
KPJC.
KPJC.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't really converted over yet to all Hebrew teaching. But was listening to this, and I said, oh, man, listen to these people. They're saying Christmas and Easter is pagan origin. What? These people, you know, and then I went and checked it out myself. Gus, my world was shaken.
So there was a catalyst that caused you to dig in and start researching yourself.
Studying it myself.
Why is it that as human beings, we don't want to go there? I've had so many people I've talked to that I say, well, you know, let's take a look at what he means by the Torah, the instructions, uh-huh. the law have been fulfilled. Well, that means they've been done away with. Well, are you willing to have the conversation about how that could be maybe viewed different? No. I know what I know.
I know what I know. But
it's so frustrating.
Yeah, that is. Because, Gus, I know you and myself, all we want is truth. We're lovers of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we've all heard this scripture in the Sermon on the Mount when Yeshua was talking. And he says in Matthew 5:17, he says, do not think that I come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the Torah till all is fulfilled. Listen to this now.
Okay.
19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, it's point being, it's not to keep his instruction. It doesn't seem to me that it's really a salvation issue. Yet he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands.
And we ought to walk as he walked.
Walk as he walked. And the only commandments when he said that, the New Testament apostolic writings had not been written yet. The only commandments they had was the Tanakh, the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the commandments.
So to be born again,
to be
if
born
I can get
again.
That out of my mouth,
yeah.
is finding him or him finding mm-hmm. us, the Spirit, Yeshua, Jesus, God, you know, Yahweh, and then starting to walk that out.
Starting to walk it out. Yes. Walking as Yeshua walked, doing the things he did.
Uh-huh.
He kept the Passover. He kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He kept all Shavuot, Feast of Weeks,
mm-hmm.
which comes 50 days later after starting the first day of first fruits, which will be the first day after the Sabbath. And so
this coming Sunday.
Yeah, this coming Sunday. So it falls on the same that our brothers celebrate Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you go look at the origin of what we were all taught in our gatherings,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to find out that it really doesn't line up with what the scripture says. Now, remember the original King James? It did talk about the Easter.
Once.
One time. And then in the New King James, they did correct it and make it the Passover. So
maybe when we come back, we can explore this a little more. It's killing me that we didn't have another hour to talk about this because this is so rich. There's so much to share and talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're given a certain amount of time by the creator of the universe, and this is the way things happen.
Well, we make our plans. He directs our steps, and I'm glad he does.
I'm glad he calls us because
he does.
Just like me. I mean,
Jake, Gus, I did not run to him. He knocked on the door of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be forever grateful.
Sometimes it's a 2x4. Sometimes it's
he did whack me. He did he did get my attention that night. I did realize that, you know, he did. And, man, not that but again, as I walked with him another few decades, it makes me realize on my best day, it's all his blood that covers all of our imperfections. It's all of him. And that's what his instructions. Hey, we don't keep them.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Back once again with the three wise guys. We are here on Hebrew Nation Radio this morning talking about Passover. We've overcome some technological hurdles. And we, the last half an hour, we listened to Rick share his journey of faith, the dot-to-dot of life.
Well, yeah, we all have a different story, and I love that. Every story is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Every true follower of our Messiah has a unique story, how the Father got their attention.
I really like the way you said that. Why'd you use the term true follower?
Well,
believer. I mean,
well,
believer all
there's
the time.
A lot, you know, a lot of people believe, but when you follow our Messiah, you start becoming quite different. And I think the separation, you know, and I said a little bit about you didn't want to be left behind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like to me, as we look at the scriptures, Gus, that who was pulled up? The wheat or the tares? Who was thrown into the fire? Who was pulled out?
Mm-hmm.
Was Daniel pulled out of the lion's den? Was he taken through the lion's den? See, the Father is going to take us through these things.
Mm-hmm.
It says, remember in 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about two things must happen. The great falling away first, and then the man of sin sits himself as God, claiming that he is God. And we've been taught, and I just want to, folks, do your own study. I don't want you to be surprised if we see these things happen, because I've heard even believers say, if I see the Antichrist, I'll know the Bible's not true. Really? Really? He said that. He says, yeah, because we're not supposed to see this stuff. I says, you better be a Berean and search the scriptures yourself.
Yeah.
Matthew 24 and Mark 13, it talks about after the tribulation of those days.
Yep. That's that great falling away.
Yes.
Perhaps scripture is talking about
there.
And it's,
I don't know. I mean, we don't have all the wise guys don't have all the answers, but it just seems to me that the Father has given us a lot of signs, and he's not a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to take, even though he did, hey, he took Elijah out, he took Enoch out, right?
There were a couple.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they saw death the way Moses, well, we don't know where he was buried.
So let me get back to what you were saying about this being taken away thing.
Yeah.
Relative to Passover, because we're talking about Passover. This is Passover week. This, for some of us, will start enjoying the Pesach or Passover.
To remember what our Messiah did.
Yeah, this Friday evening.
And
that means this week we're removing leaven. And so could I interpret what you just said as Passover is not only a rehearsal of what happened in the past, but for the ultimate, where are we going in the future?
Where are we going? Yes. And, you know, in he gave us all these pictures. Why do we remove the leaven from our homes?
Mm-hmm.
Because it signifies he wanted to give us, I think, a word picture of what we're trying to get all the sin out of our own lives. And he knows how we are. He created us. So, you know, we're all struggling, if you will, to be pure before him, especially when we come to Friday evening and we all come together and remember what happened. Remember when he took him out. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It says it's going to happen. Someday we'll do a thing on the second Exodus, what that looks like.
Yeah,
that's a whole other show.
Hey, but, can I read something out of the book?
Yes, go ahead.
Matthew, you were in Matthew before.
Yes,
you
love
were
Matthew.
Like in 5 and then 12, I think you started out there. Let's go to Matthew 16.
Matthew 16.
And I'm going to start with verse 1 because I think we'll see that this ties in. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and trying him, Yeshua, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answering them said, when it is evening, you say, fair weather, for the heaven is red. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, stormy weather. Let's see, where am I? I just had a text overlay my phone here.
Yeah.
Stormy weather today, for the heaven is red and overcast. You know how to discern the face of the heaven, but you are unable to discern the signs of the times.
Mm-hmm.
A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Okay. And that seems like the generations now, but everybody could say that going back. And no sign shall be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah.
So
Jonah.
He replaces it. He says it again.
He repeats it again.
In Matthew 12, he said there'd be the sign. Go ahead.
And he left them and went away. And his taught ones came to the other side and had forgotten to take bread. It's an interesting transition. Okay, we're talking about Jonah, 3 days and bread. And Yeshua said to them, mind and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Wow.
No, wait a minute. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, because we brought no bread. But Yeshua, aware of this, said to them, oh, you of little belief, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you brought no bread. Do you still not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you picked up?
Mm.
How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, lechem, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Boy, look at how that ties things together with Passover, with bread, with leavening.
Well, and the teachings that a lot of our leaders, you know, we got to be aware of, you know, if I'm teaching, you better test everything that I'm teaching.
Uh-huh.
You better test it to make sure it lines up with his word. And it seems to me that that's what he was accusing the Pharisees and Sadducees of, is not following the word. Mm-hmm. They were kind of adding. They said, you must do this and you must do that to be, you know, right with Yahweh. And boy, we just got to be careful, don't we? Bottom line.
Well, you know, we do. And here's a site that talks about Chosen People Ministries, and they're talking about the removal of leaven. I thought, oh, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
And see if you can guess how far I got in and stopped. During Passover, observant Jewish people, I stopped. It's like, Wait a minute, refrain from eating. Jewish people? Okay, that's true.
Well, yeah, but what about us that aren't?
Exactly. why does it, as the Jewish people prepare for Passover, wait a minute.
So they make it an Israelite thing instead of having a Yahweh's people thing.
Well, they make it a Jewish thing instead of Israel, which is just Yahweh's
and
people.
And that's just one tribe. Yehuda, mm-hmm. Judah, is one tribe of the 12, and there's 12 tribes. So, and you know, to me, it's a Yahweh's people thing, mm-hmm. right? It's for all of his people.
Like you said, we're a nation in formation. You go to Ephesians 2, and we were once Gentiles, but now we're part of the Commonwealth of Israel.
At the house of Israel, yes.
Well, if that's the case, and we get this mindset about the Jews because we read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we equate all of Father's instructions to that.
Yes, and we think, oh, this is all these feast days are for the Jews. But if you go back to Leviticus 23, it doesn't say, he says, these are my feasts. Mm-hmm. You are to keep them from all your generations and forever. Mm-hmm. That's why we keep them today, Gus.
Yeah.
You know, and,
but wait, Rick.
We
aren't in the land. I mean, even if we say, okay, yeah, we should do these things, maybe, yeah, we'll look into them. Don't we have to be in the land to do the Passover sacrifice?
No. Yeah. We don't do a sacrifice. We just do a remembrance. We remember, don't we?
Oh, why is that?
Because there was one sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice. When our Messiah, aren't you glad, Gus? You know, I had little Tommy. He was a little lamb.
Yeah.
You remember Tommy, but I can just imagine, you know, I'm a Messiah. He gave his, he laid his life down, but, and then you think of a little lamb, a perfect little lamb, did nothing wrong, just like a Messiah was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their little life is taken from them. Our Messiah laid his life down. Father, Gus, our sin, our iniquities held him there.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, and none of us are deserving of the awesome free gift of salvation extended to us. All we have to do is live for him each and every day. Those that will deny themselves, take up my cross and follow me.
Uh-huh.
Follow, you know, and what does that look like? It's a day by day journey.
Well, you know what it is I'd suggest?
Yes.
Especially in this season.
What
are we supposed to be doing right now in our houses?
We're supposed to be cleaning them out of any leaven. That would
now,
be.
Now, a lot of times we think of that as yeast, and some English versions will render that word yeast. But Chametz, which is Strong's number 2556 or 2557, depending on is the word for that leavening. So some people will say, listen, I'm going to take anything out of my house that leavens in any way, shape, or form.
That makes anything big, that puffs it up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we got to, don't we have to be careful of ourselves getting puffed up and getting arrogant.
Is that right? Is that wrong? I mean, should it just be, you know, back in the day, it was when you put a lump of flour or of dough up on the windowsill and then the natural yeast entered in.
Yes.
And, okay, so I got to get rid of that. That's going back to the, you know, 2,000 years. And we can still do that today.
Sure.
But do we take it to the point of anything that might cause something to rise out of our house? Maybe.
Well, so I think some do.
And is that
wrong? We all work it out a little different. Just like the Passover, just like the Shabbat, Sabbath. Uh-huh. Everybody does Sabbath maybe a little differently. I mean, we're all resting pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us got to prepare. They got to, you know, we have to, if you're having it at your house, you got to prepare. You got to do a little bit of preparation.
Sure. So going back to that leaven.
Yes.
If the leaven is something we're not supposed to have, what does it represent? Because he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yeah, it represents the iniquity of sin in our lives. See, and that's what we're trying to remove. That's why he gives us that shadow picture. Removing all the leaven signifies our sin. You know, and every year we do that because it needs to be done, doesn't it, Gus? That's why our Creator had us do this. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's that he commanded us because he knows how often we do forget.
Sure. So the leaven is, he said, of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So if we concentrate on that, look at that aspect of it, how does that translate into our sin? I'm trying to find a connection there.
Yeah. It's, Gus, we all gotta fight the arrogance, the, help me out.
Okay, well, I'm going back to, let's look specifically at what he said there. So what was it about the Pharisees and Sadducees that he didn't want us to pay attention to? That he said, hey, listen, get rid of, beware that kind of leavening.
Well, because they added to his word.
Okay.
Do you want to be specific? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so they added to his word. Or did they subtract maybe in any way? I'm not sure. Because now, if we look at the Bible, you know, realize that when we talk about scriptures, that's really what we would call either the Old Testament or the Tanakh. Those are the established writings. So anytime you look in the New Testament and they say the scriptures as it is written, that's always
the Old
Testament the Tanakh.
Right.
So that's one aspect we got to consider. So if we go into the aspect of the Pharisees and Sadducees' teachings and how we should not be doing what they're doing, they added and subtracted. And
they did.
Father's real specific about that, isn't he?
He says, don't add or take away from my word.
Mm-hmm. Keeps pointing us back to this season, not only removing the leaven, but knowing what that leaven is. And that's where the studying comes in. That can frustrate me when I talk to people and they just, no interest, no clue, no
A lot
desire.
Of people, Gus, I think are very comfortable in their salvation.
Uh-huh.
They feel like, you know, they've got it. They're at the cross. They, you know, they've accepted the giver of life.
Uh-huh.
They're walking with him. They believe and they think there's not, they go to church on Sunday or whenever they go. And, but you know, it's a day by day, isn't it? Step by step journey. And, the longer you get down that road, the more you realize that it's the price he paid. It's, there was a song I used to sing. There was a debt that, there was a debt. There was a debt he did not owe. I had a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, but now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace.
Mm.
So, you know, he paid that debt that he did not owe.
I've got another one for you.
Yes, go ahead.
1 Corinthians.
Oh.
Speaking of lumps and
Church
debts.
Corinth.
And, yes. So 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, and 8. Your boasting is not good. We'd have to go back and find out what they're boasting about. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump?
That's right.
Lump, huh? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven so that you are a new lump. You ever thought of yourself as a lump?
A lump.
As you are leavened, as you are unleavened, excuse me. For also Messiah, our Passover, our Pesach, says right there, there's the connection, right?
What verse was that, guys?
That's 7 now, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. For also Messiah, our Pesach, was slaughtered for us. So then let us celebrate the festival. Which festival? Easter?
No.
Passover.
The Passover.
Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness. Well, there it's telling us. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Amen.
Truth and sincerity.
Yep.
Doesn't that describe it for us? So that helps us understand what the Pharisees and Sadducees weren't doing. It was evil, wicked, insincere, untruthful, if I just use the opposite of those words. It isn't the Jewish people. It was a certain group of people that held to standards that were man-made. And he talks about that, I think it's in Matthew 15, where he says, why do you follow the traditions of man and forsake the traditions, or excuse me, the commandments of Elohim?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we need to do. And shouldn't all of us, as brothers and sisters in Messiah, say, hey, help me get closer. I just want to get closer to him.
Yeah, I just need more. Mm-hmm. I just want more of what he has. Mm-hmm. And that's all we want, Gus. All we're searching for, all we want is the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth we know will make us free. But I just love it where it says, therefore, you just read it, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Mm-hmm. See, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us. He says, keep my feasts. You know, keep them. That's why we're trying to. Do we do it all right? Absolutely not. But we're just trying to journey and walk as Yeshua walked. Nothing more, nothing less. Walk like our Messiah.
Yep.
And I love it.
How about Galatians? You want to go there?
Oh, I love Galatians.
Okay, so let's go to another chapter 5. So Galatians yes. chapter 5. And let's see. Boy, it's endless. We could dig through all of this.
Oh, I love it.
Let me focus in. We'll start on 6. So Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength. So it's right there. If we stop, is he saying that we shouldn't be circumcised? No.
No.
He's saying that in Messiah, we're all to be the same. He's talking to people that are either Gentiles or Jews. There's mm-hmm. this issue that is pervasive through the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, that people are trying to come up with their own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always railing against that. So let's see. For in Messiah, we'll say it again. For in Messiah, Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, but belief working through love. You were running well. Who held you back from obeying the truth?
Mm-hmm.
That persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens all the lump. I trust in you, in the master, that you shall have no other mind, and he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Interesting. So he's tying this leaven back in again.
Yep.
And we are supposed to be a lump. And do you know that the Hebrew word for lump, you ever looked up the Hebrew
word for lump? What's lump?
Well, you know, first of all, it's and you're going to find this fascinating, and I know we're running short, but I got to share this.
Yes.
So, do you believe in vaccinations?
Not so much. I believe that they're around.
They're around. Okay, good. So, do you believe that Big Pharma is the way to go? Like,
I think Yahweh didn't make a mistake on our immune systems if we do our part.
Hmm. So, the word pharma is kind of an interesting word, isn't it? Pharma is a Greek word.
Pharmakia,
mm-hmm.
Which means what?
Well, let me jump back a little bit.
I don't want to get ahead here.
No, that which is mixed is what pharma means. And that which is mixed is also what lump in the Greek is, but it's phurama. So it's just
phurama.
It's a slight variation, but it means that which is mixed up, which now you can see that, we go to phurama, we go to pharma, things that are mixed up. Mixed together, mm-hmm. when really it's, I think, mixed up is a better example. In the Hebrew, that translates to debelah. And here's the interesting part that I want to take it to, because right now it's a mental pursuit. But it's a fig cake or a lump of compressed figs.
Interesting.
Compressed figs. Now, if we're supposed to get rid of leaven.
Right.
What is our life supposed to show? Is it supposed to show leaven, or is it supposed to show something else?
Yeah, not leaven for sure. It's supposed to show
fruit.
Yeah, much fruit.
They'll
know us by our fruits, won't they?
And he says we need to be a lump, a compressed lump of figs. We need
fruit.
To be fruit.
Yeah.
And figs bear more than once. They bear twice, don't they?
They do bear twice.
Kind of like a first and second coming, in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, good point.
Hmm. So we're supposed to be lumps. And if we're lumps and we get rid of the yeast that would cause that compressed fig cake to go bad, let's draw this back together, what we're doing this week. Are we taking the actual yeast out of our homes? Sure, and that would be any product.
We're trying.
We're trying.
Do we miss some? Oh, I'm sure we do.
Yeah, because we aren't perfect.
At least we're not perfect.
But we're going to want to follow the instructions
We try.
Yep. And so we're going to take out bread and rolls and crackers and anything that has that leavening in it. Now, as we talked about earlier, some people are going to go to a point of saying, hey, anything that leavens, even if it's sodium bicarbonate, that's cool. I mean, there's no judgment there.
Yeah.
We all have to walk our path out. But it is interesting to take this a little farther. And Sean, one of our brothers, mentioned this last Shabbat. He said, hey, maybe that extends to even things I watch. I've got some DVDs that maybe aren't wholesome. Maybe that's some leaven that I should consider getting rid of.
There you go.
So we would encourage you to expand your horizons, your understanding of what leaven is this Passover season, and take a look at what kind of leaven do I need to get out of my life to be more fruitful for him.
Yeah, but we need to pray. Father, show me if there's if there's things I'm doing or I'm saying, or help me reveal those to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, each and every year is so unique, isn't it, Gus?
It really is.
It's just, each journey is each time we do this, it's very special. Mm-hmm. And man, amazing how the years are going by.
It is. And so you may be celebrating Passover at home. You may be celebrating it Friday night or Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
You may be celebrating the second Passover a month later.
Yeah, you did that. Did you do that last year?
I did that last year, yes.
Yes, I remember that.
So, you know, if you don't know what that is, look it up.
Yeah.
Do a search. If you've got an electronic version of the Bible, you can search keywords and find things very quickly. You may be eating lamb. You may not be.
Yeah.
You may be doing the Seder, which means order.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that.
No.
We just don't want to replace Yeshua in anything that we do, right?
No, he is the reason for the season, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
As we remember what Yeshua did, and he came, and he celebrated, right, the Passover, the night before he paid that debt.
Mm-hmm.
He did not owe. So
we're supposed to do like our Messiah.
We're supposed to be and do what he did.
Yep, exactly. So let's look forward to Passover. Let's get together, even with if it's just with the Father. If you're shut into your house, you can't get out, whatever, still make it a commemorating time, a remembrance.
Yeah, and some people say, I don't know how to do it. Well, I think just do a little study of your own, and, he will show you. I always say,
yes,
he will show you.
Even if you're on the right track, if you just sit there, you'll get run over.
Have a blessed day.
Hello.
From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee.